It's Father's Day, a time to celebrate all the wonderful fathers out there. Not just for being shining examples of how great a dad can be, but also for being wonderful reflections of who God is. Like God, you've provided for us. You've shown us how much you care from the very beginning. With God, you've guided us, helping us navigate through every decision, big or small. You've been present. It sounds so simple, but it's so important. Just knowing you're there when we need you. You've been patient with us, helping us to grow and learn from all the mistakes we make. And like God, you forgive us, offering us grace so those mistakes can never define us. And most of all, you've loved us unconditionally as only someone filled with God's love could. So today, we thank you, dads, for all of this and so much more. Happy Father's Day.
Yes, happy Father's Day. To the fathers, to the grandfathers, to every good man who's been an influence on your life. Yes? My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastoral staff here at Harvest City. Last week I was up here talking by myself. That was fine. It's more fun to talk with others. So I've got four friends who should make their way up here. We'll introduce you when you get here, but come choose a good seat. I'll sit here. The others are the good seats. What are we doing here, Jason? What's the plan? This is an effort to uniquely celebrate the things we've received and seek some of what we need. And so here's what's going to happen over the course of the next 35 minutes or so. We're going to chat with these four special people, and at the end, there's going to be an invitation to come to the front to receive the blessing of a father, the Father. We will all need and receive that together, and then there's a group of men that have agreed to be available that if something in the morning seems especially important to you, especially touching to you, that there will be people available to speak with and to pray with further. Four brave souls. Who are these people? If I was in your seat, I'd want to know, who am I listening to today? I know Jason, he's on staff. I got that. I heard him before. But who are these people? Here's the level of introduction you're going to get. They're going to tell you their name, where their childhood memories are from, and how long they've been at Harvest City. And then I've got four questions that are going to guide the rest of our conversation. Let's start down there. Sharp-looking man.
Sounds good.
Hello.
You're on.
Okay, my name is Ron Swan. I'm one of the elders here at Harvest City Church. I don't totally understand your question about where my childhood memories came from, but I grew up in a little town called Plenty, Saskatchewan. And we actually made the news this couple days ago. Kelly McCrimmon is one of he grew up in Plenty about 5 miles down the road, and he just won the Stanley Cup as the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights.
So nice.
They talked a little bit about my little town of about 100 people. And I have, third question, I've been at Harvest City for approximately 21 years. We came here in 2002 when we moved to Regina, and we've been here ever since.
Very good. Thanks, Ron. Who's next?
My name.
Oh, those buttons.
Hello.
I see a light.
My name is Claire Etenu. My husband Brian and I have been here at Harvest City for 1 year.
Okay.
Making a year soon.
Yeah.
And we come from Uganda.
All right.
The Pearl of Africa. That is what Winston Churchill said about our country. Very beautiful, very green. And I was raised in Kampala, the capital city of Uganda, and it's bustling, it's full of a lot of activity, and one of my greatest childhood memories was just really moving around that city and just getting to know the different corners of Kampala.
Beautiful. Thank you, Claire.
My name is Charles Greff. I grew up in a small rural community about an hour south of Regina called Perry. And it was much smaller than Kampala.
Yes.
It maybe had 60 people in it if you counted all the dogs. My wife Shirley and I moved to Regina about 30 years ago, and we have been at Harvest City Church ever since. And is that all the questions?
That'll do. All we right. know you, Charles. What about you?
Hello. Perfect. My name is Allie Petker. I am from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, and I've been at Harvest City for about, I think, 9 to 10 years so far.
Okay. Perfect. So, and here you are. If you need reminders, there they are. Here's our goal. I've got four questions that I've given to these individuals. These are questions about their experiences of fathering. Not all of these people are fathers, Jason. Yes, but they've all been fathered, and that's where we're going. Fathered by men, but fathered by the Lord. And all of us, there are this many experiences of it in the room, but here are four that I'm hoping might connect with pieces of your story, maybe stir some memories or some conversations within your own heart or your own household. So I have told them, there's the four questions. What we're aiming for is we are structured but not scripted. So if you say something amazing, I reserve the right to go a direction we didn't talk about beforehand. So don't be too amazing. But be fully amazing. Here's our first question. We're going to Scripture. This is a famous prayer that Jesus has given us, and it is often titled, Our Father. Many of us know it well. But within that prayer, what is a line that connects with you most or connects as you consider God as Father? Is there one line from the Lord's Prayer that you want to highlight today? We didn't determine who's going to go first. You're closest, Allie.
I'll say, I can go first. I have no problem with that. In the prayer right now, for me, the line that I connect to the most is the line that says, give us this day our daily bread. And I think for me, in the season of life that I'm in, I'm really relying on God to provide for certain things that I need. It reminds me of in Matthew, I wrote it down, Matthew 10, it talks about, Jesus is talking and he's talking about the sparrows and he says, when a sparrow falls, like sparrows aren't worth much, but when it falls, God knows. Mm-hmm. And how much more valuable are you than sparrows? And he talks about how the very numbers of hairs on your head, like he knows them all. And in that, just learning that God cares about my day-to-day things. He doesn't just care about the really, really big things, but all my day-to-day life things that I need him for, that I need him to provide for. That's just been really evident in my life right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely encouraging. Let's keep going down the line this time.
So the portion that actually stands out to me and probably has from the time that I became a believer was, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm. And I think the main reason that that stands out is because in the very early days, it just became very evident to me that it wasn't about me, it was about him. Mm. So I gave my life to Christ in the summer of 1983. Mm. And very soon after, he began to put his finger on my heart in terms of, okay, I was so bent on being successful in farming. Mm. And he had other plans. So he began to put his finger on my heart. And I remember one vivid memory in the field one afternoon. And he kept putting his finger there and saying, okay, are you going to live your life for yourself or are you going to live it for me? And I would go around and around. and it would come up again and again. And finally, I couldn't shake it. So I actually shut off the tractor, got out of the tractor, got down the summer fallow field, and I just said, Lord, whatever you want for my life, mm-hmm. I am committed. Wow. I will follow you. I give it all. Doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm in. Here I am, Lord. Send me, use me, however you want.
There you are.
Yeah.
There's holy ground in a field in yes. southern Saskatchewan somewhere, right? It's a great story, yeah. Charles. What about you, Claire?
So what stands out for me is, lead us not into temptation. Mm. And I used to always look at God as the disciplinarian, the one who is ready to catch me when I'm in the wrong.
Yes.
but lead us not into temptation has, I've been meditating on it for a couple of, you know, maybe months. And one thing that stands out is God is not only there when we fall, but he's there before we even make an error. So in my weakness, in my time of doubt, I can go to God, my Father, and say, God, help me with this. I don't know how to navigate this situation. I do not want to fall short of what you want me to do. Lead me not into temptation. Help me navigate this situation, whether I'm compromising with a lie or I want to compromise with I don't know, maybe just my walk. And I just ask God, help me not get there. Give me the grace. The grace is there at this other end even before I sin. Yes. And my Father can help me navigate that.
Yes. So such a good story, Claire. Such a good memory. I mean, it's like with any father, right? We hope we have a father who can take a phone call when we are really in a pinch. But we have a father who wants a phone call long before we're in a pinch. He would weigh in helpful and healthy ways long before that, right? So good. Ron?
I would be similar to Allie there. The give us this day our daily bread, just kind of, God is Jehovah Jireh. All of my answers today are actually going to be, they're kind of come out of my own sonship of my earthly dad. And my dad, I want to preface everything by saying that he was a great father, and I just want to honor him today. But he also had his shortfalls, and he had his own struggles. And so I'm battling through a lot of that, but my dad was an awesome provider. Like, he was just an amazing provider. I never went without. Yep. He gave us everything that we ever needed or wanted, and he was amazing that way. And so it's been a bit of a journey for me to learn, I guess, how to shift that from my earthly father to my heavenly father. But about 4 years ago, I had an encounter with God where he showed himself to me as my provider and as Jehovah Jireh. And it was at that time when I really learned the whole, and I don't have time to go into it, but the whole premise of first fruits and sowing and reaping, and how I, you know, he became more of a provider to me once I truly trusted him with what I had. Mm-hmm. And the second part, actually the line right after that is pretty, it speaks to me as well. You know, it's give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. And this is where one of my dad's, my earthly dad's shortcomings was, is that he provided and he was a great dad and all these things, but I never truly felt like if I did anything wrong, I was ever truly let off the hook. Mm. And so it's become a bit of a battle. And I got a good friend of mine who has studied through the Lord's Prayer and took a deep dive on it. And we've had a lot of discussions about it. And those two paths, I'm still actually working through that whole thing about forgive us our trespasses. I know God forgives me up here. Yeah. But sometimes when I make that mistake, sometimes it doesn't always get to hear. So that's important to me.
Yeah, for sure. Since we're in Scripture, question two is also about Scripture. Beyond the Lord's Prayer, are there other Scriptures? If you were to hit your concordance, look for verses about the God as the Father. There's many. Was there one you wanted to highlight today as particularly meaningful? Let's start at Claire this time. I'll mess with you.
So one verse that stands out for me is in Luke.
Okay.
Luke chapter 12, verse 32. And this is Jesus. The backdrop of this is Jesus telling his disciples not to worry about anything. And then he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's desire to give you the kingdom." And I know Charles has been talking about your kingdom come. So even when you look at that, fear not, little flock, and how often we worry and I'm anxious about many things. This has been our year. This year has been a year with a lot of anxiety for Bran and I, you know, just wanting to settle and knowing what God's will is for us. And when I read that verse and it's saying, do not be afraid. Jesus is telling us, don't be afraid. It's my Father's desire. It's not his duty.
Yeah.
It's, he doesn't do it out of, oh, let me just give you the kingdom. Mm. He wants to give us the kingdom. Mm. And the kingdom is his peace, his joy. And even with everything that's happening around us, we can just rest in the fact that God wants to give us everything in his kingdom. We stop focusing on all these things that are going on around us, and we ask him to teach us to look at him because he's happy to give us his kingdom, to share his secrets of the kingdom with us. So that stands out.
It's beautiful. Go for it, Ellie.
For sure. A verse that stands out to me is in Matthew 7:11, and it says, Jesus is talking, and he says, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" And for me in my life, the scripture is really meaningful because I'm sure all of us here probably have things that we're praying for that we believe are really good, God-centered, Jesus-focused things, and maybe they're not happening, or maybe God hasn't given you the gift. And I know in my life, it's made me question the goodness of God.
Right.
Is God good if he's not giving me these things I'm asking for? And a couple weekends ago, I attended the IF conference here at Harvest City, and one of the speakers said, "My expectations of God are not the promises of God." And that really hit me in the sense that I'm having expected gifts of God. Right. God, you're not hitting my expected right. gifts. But this is actually a promise. God is a good father, and he gives good gifts to his children. So it's something for me that I can look at and say, this is God's character. This is who he is as a father, and I can hold on to that promise that he has for me.
It's really good, Ellie. Thank you. Go for it, Charles.
So the scripture I have is 1 John 3:1. "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God."
Yes.
And I can't, over and over, I think, what is man that God is mindful of him? When you think of this God that created everything, every mountain, every hill, every cloud, all of the universe, the galaxies,
yep.
and yet he wants to have intimate relationship with everyone on the planet,
yes.
me included,
yes.
it just blows my fuses. There's times I can't. How is that possible? You know, why would he want that?
Yeah.
And yet, I know that he does. Deep down, I know that he wants that kind of intimacy.
Yes. In lots of Bibles, that verse is behold, right? That word, behold the love of the Father. I often just think it's just challenging us, like, look at it, and then look at it again, and then stare a little longer because you're not getting it yet, right? Because it is. It's an astounding kind of love. Ron?
The passage that would speak to me the most that I've been actually studying quite a bit as of late is the prodigal son in Luke 15. Mm. And it kind of has a twofold impact on my life because I was that prodigal son. When I was a kid, I kind of went my own way and I made a lot of mistakes and lived a life that I wish I could go back and change, but it's part of my testimony now. And so just the goodness of God when the son comes back and his father, you know, going out to meet him and throwing a party for him and all that kind of stuff. That blows my fuses, Charles, when I see that. But then it's a twofold thing because now I'm a father. And now I'm that dad and I just as a dad I wanna have the patience and kindness and grace for my children and there's times when I don't and that hurts me. And you know, I was tearing up watching that video because I look at those dads in that video and I think every one of those dads is such a better dad than I am, you know? And I'm not trying to be self-deprecating here and just, I'm not trying to be that way, but I'm convicted by it. I want to be better. Mm. And I want to be more like that prodigal dad who just, you know, his son asked for his inheritance and he gave him, even though he knew it wasn't the best thing for him, but he knew that his son had to learn a lesson and he was going to have to learn it the hard way, but he was there for him to restore him when he came back.
Right, right.
And so for me, I want to be more like that dad. I was like the son. Now I want to be more like the dad.
There you go.
And so God help me as I do that. So.
Let's hope you're never like the fatted calf.
Yes.
All right. Question three. Some of these have been hinted at. There are experiences that have already been alluded to. But within your journey of being parented by God, is there one experience that you recall as particularly meaningful? Ron, keep rolling.
Okay, well, this was easy. I've had a few encounters with God over my journey. My wife and I became believers in 1996, but we got saved out of a rock bottom experience. But I kind of went through another one in 2019. There was stuff going on at work and stuff going on at home and things, and I felt like I needed some help to get through this. So I booked in a week down at Elijah House in Coeur d'Alene, and I went and I spent some time getting some pretty in-depth prayer ministry. And just to jump back, where this experience came from, when I think back to my earthly dad again, the thing I wanted more than anything growing up is I wanted to go fishing with my dad. I wanted to spend, you know, a weekend or a week, and I still see the picture. I'm in the mountains, and I'm right by a stream, and we set up a camp, and you know, no technology or nothing like that. We would just fish, and we would eat what we would catch. And as I'm sharing it, I'm seeing it all. I've always had this dream. And my dad, it wasn't his thing, you know, and I remember him saying, wow, that's not something I really feel like doing, and so it just never happened. And then fast forward to 2019, and I had kind of forgotten about that dream that I had when I was a teenager. And as I was being ministered to down there, the people that were praying for me just asked me, like, what is God saying to you right now? What is, you know, because it was pretty intense, this session. And I'm not claiming that I heard the audible voice of God or anything like that, but I had this deep impression in my heart. And it's like, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? And I was weeping. And what God said to me was, Ron, nothing would make me happier than to go fishing with you. You know, and it's something that, it's still to this day, like when I think about that time, it's like, it sounds silly. I want to go fishing with you. But to me, it's like the yes. one thing that my dad never gave to me that I really wanted more than anything. God said, I want to go fishing with you. And I still haven't done that. I want to go and spend that time in the mountains in that place. But I did take a time a couple of years ago. It was right after I got back. I was up north, and I just went out, and I didn't have a boat, but I found a secluded dock, and I just sat with him for probably 6 or 8 hours, and we went fishing together, and he was just speaking to my spirit as we did that. And that was powerful. That was something that just locked in the fact that God is my Father, and he remembers the things.
Yeah, he does.
That was a desire in my heart as a kid.
Yeah, he's tuned to the desires of our heart, right? This is big. Claire?
Last, maybe 2 years ago, God laid it on Brian's heart. We had been doing ministry in Uganda for around 12 years. And God laid it on Brian's heart that it was time for us to move on. And we took a sabbatical because we had really been going and going and going, and we just wanted to rest. So we took a year off, came and visited friends in the U.S. and family in Canada, and just really relaxed and just kind of fed from God and from rest.
Yep.
And then we went back home for a month, and God opened a door for us to come to Regina because I got a job offer. And we were so excited. We came and we rented a small space, and we applied for work permits. And when we did, we thought the work permits would come in maybe 3-4 weeks. The work permits took 5 months. We were paying bills.
Yeah.
We had to buy food. We were not working. You can't work without a work permit. And at that point, we found out I was pregnant. And we started getting so worried. We were second-guessing our decision.
Yeah.
Just in case the work permits don't come at the time they're supposed to come, then what? We had to go to hospital and pay out of pocket because we had no insurance. And it was really, really tough. And at some point we said, we need to go back home. Maybe we didn't hear well, and home at least we know we'll have some kind of care, and we will not be paying all these bills we're paying. And at around that time, we saw the provision of God as Father. And week after week, God miraculously provided. And there was a time I was craving yogurt. I was like, I wish I could just take yogurt. And that evening, someone gave us three tins of yogurt. Just like that. And I was like, God, that's amazing. Then there's a time Brian said, I really want to eat beef, you know? And God provided the beef. Then we started laughing about it. Then someone just took us out and asked Brian to pray for the ministry and you know, just pray. And then she blessed us also. And we were like, there was a time I was just, it was really cold and I was really fidgeting with keys and I was opening the door to the house and I just felt the love of God the Father saying, I have you covered. I will take care of you. I know why I gave you the baby at this time. We had been trying for a child for around 5 years. And why does the baby come when we don't even know where we are going or what's happening? And the Lord did. He just smiled on us, and I really feel him smile lately. Mm-hmm. And there's a, I think it's Zephaniah, I don't know where it is. It says, God sings over us.
Yes.
So I'm like, he's singing over me. I'm like, he's saying, I'm your provider, I love you, and I will see you through. So this year has been tough with a lot, and we finally got our work permits, thank the Lord. But this year has been a year of God just saying, I got you. I'll take care of you. I brought you here, and I'll sustain you. I'm your father.
Wow. That's huge, Claire. Charles?
I think for me, it goes back to very, very beginning of when I became a believer again. Mm-hmm. And it was the first morning that I woke up after having received Christ. I just knew everything had changed in my life. And I just sense the love of God. And sometimes I actually feel so guilty because I talk with people that cannot seem to sense God's love. But it was overwhelming morning by morning. I couldn't wait to get out of bed in the morning just to see what he had for me that day.
Oh.
And it just went on and on. And it was through those times that I began to really know the heart of the Father, how his love was unconditional, how his mercy, how he just delighted in me. Mm. And just understanding the care that he has for his children. Mm-hmm. So, I like I say, sometimes I weep over people that cannot experience what I do.
Mm.
And I feel guilty sometimes. But I know I shouldn't.
No, that we're all invited. He wants everyone to have this,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. So I hope if there's anyone here today that we can pray for, that they'll find a breakthrough.
Yeah, for sure. Allie?
When I was thinking about being parented by God, I was thinking about my parents, because I'm not a parent, and so I was thinking how they parented me.
Yeah.
And my parents were super busy. They had 4 kids in like 6.5 years. And if you play sports or you have kids who play sports, you know how busy that is. But they showed up. They were always there, always showing up, always being present. And I was thinking, okay, how has God showed up for me? And there were so many stories where I was thinking how God has showed up, but one in particular stands out among the rest. And it was actually this time last June, I was going to Uganda with Joel on the Crusades. And I was on the team that went into the schools, and I had to give a gospel message calling people to salvation. And I have never given a gospel message in my life. And I was scared, of course. And then most of the schools had like 200, 300 kids, but we get to this school and they're like, there might be like 1,000 kids there, and my heart just like dropped. And 1,000 kids did not come, just you know, but we went to this auditorium and it could hold probably 1,000 kids. And I thought, I'm either going to pass out or I'm going to throw up. Like,
both great options.
And I don't know if the team knew how I was feeling, to be honest. But Laura and Jenny on the team prayed for me because I think I was very pale. And there's this hype crew and they're like, you know, playing music, getting everyone jazzed. And I'm sitting there and my leg just won't stop moving. And I'm shaking. And I remember just being like, God, I need you to show up. Like, I need you to show up right now. Like, I cannot do this. I'm going to, like I said, I thought I was going to, like, puke all over everything. And I remember getting up, taking the mic. I remember my hand was steady. And to be honest, that's the last thing I remember. I don't remember any, like, I didn't pass out, okay? But I preached the gospel message. And I don't remember anything that I said. Not a single word. And I remember after I ended and I turned and looked at the team and they're all just staring at me and I'm like, was it good? Like, how'd that go? I don't know. And we're heading back to the van and like, no one, everyone's like, oh yeah, that's good, that's good. And you're like, oh, you have to say that. You know, you're on the team, like, whatever. And Ivan, the guy who's driving us from school to school, he is the youth minister at Peter's Church in Kampala, right? He says to me, he goes, Allie, you're an evangelist. And I was like, am I? You know, that's new. And he made a joke. He said, next time you'll be with Joel on the billboards in Uganda. And don't worry, Joel, you're good. But I just remember thinking, that was not me. That was God showing up for me in a way that I had never experienced before in my life. Mm. And like right now, it brings me to tears just knowing that like, he steadied my hand, like as a parent, like helps a child do things and steadies their hand and is with them and beside them, that he was with me through all of it. And I come back to that moment, even getting up on stage here, I'm like, God, I need you to show up again. You know, like I don't love public speaking. So it just reminds me that God shows up and there's many things I could share about that. But even your life, if you're waiting for him to show up, he will show up for you.
Yeah. It's good, Allie. When I hear her mention that steadying, I get that picture of many fathers know the child learning to ride the bike, right? And you're running behind them, holding that, but you let it go and the little wobble and you save, right? And there's that little dance. I want them to feel the wobble. They have to, but I don't want them to get hurt. And so that steadying presence, it's there when we feel it. Sometimes he lets off. He's still right close. All right, time goes fast when you share it with four people. Here we are. So the last question is too important. I don't want to skip over it, but here it is. Imagine two different people. Maybe these people are right here this morning. Two different people. One of them feels that their experience of being fathered was such a poor experience that they struggle to embrace God as their father. The second person intellectually accepts that God is their father, but struggles to feel the level of care and protection that God has for them. Is there something you would say to either of these precious people today?
I'll go first.
Do it.
Okay, perfect. I could say I can relate to the second person who understands God intellectually but has a hard time feeling it. I grew up in the church my whole life, and sometimes as blessed and as happy as I am to have grown up in that environment, it can really give you a, you know, God in your head perspective of Jesus loves you, God loves you, God loves you. And you hear it a lot, which is, it's amazing, but sometimes you just kind of like forget the power of that or the meaning of that. And I remember at one point in my life, I was talking to a mentor of mine and I literally just said, I just want to know what God wants me to do and I'll do it. You know, like just give me the formula and then I'll do it and then I'll feel God's love and protection. Just tell me what to do so I can feel, so I know the answer, which is really like logical. That's how my brain works. And unfortunately, that's not really how God works. There's not really a formula for it. But I remember I had to get out of my like head heart and come into like my heart, as weird as that sounds. It's kind of abstract. But actually opening my heart and letting God see the things that I was hiding from God a little bit and being real with God about the pain I have, the experiences I have, the things that I didn't want him to come into, and just quieting myself in my alone time and intentionally being quiet, which is really difficult to do, I have found. But in those moments are some of my best moments, I guess. Like some of my closest intimate interaction with God, because his love is real and it's an intimate relationship when you spend the time investing in who he is and when he speaks to you.
Okay, that's good. Charles, what would you offer?
Well, I think the closest or the first relationship we have is with our earthly father that gives us an example of what our heavenly father's like. And and if that's good, we often will trust our heavenly father, right? But if it isn't, we'll have more difficulty trusting our heavenly father. And if that is the case, you know, maybe you have a father that has struggled in his own life and he just wasn't there, he was absent and you couldn't trust him. Well, your heavenly father is not that way. You can trust him. He will be there for you. And he's unconditional.
That's good. Claire?
I think I'll just add on that, and it's in the book of Psalms, and it's David saying that, though my father and mother forsake me, my God will take me up. And I always wonder about David, that why did his dad leave him out when the prophet came, when Samuel came to anoint? His dad left him out. Why was that?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe there were issues. Then he gets a father figure who should be taking care of him, Saul.
Yes.
And Saul starts chasing him to kill him.
Yes.
So sometimes, even in our own lives, we have father figures or our own biological fathers who have totally disappointed us.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been who they should be to all of us. And then he says in his psalm that even when this happens, my God will take me up. So it's just a comfort to all of us. And it cannot be an intellectual thing. It has to be the Holy Spirit who teaches us every day that he's called Abba, his dad. It's an intimate experience. We cannot use our brains to do that. It has to be. And it takes time. I don't think David got it immediately. So it's an encouragement to all of us to keep going to God and keep learning about that.
It's beautiful. Thank you, Claire. Ron?
Yeah, I would go back and say, you know, the thing when I was struggling with how my dad parented, he was a great dad again, don't get me wrong, he was a great dad, but I actually learned that you can only give out what you've been given, and that was a breakthrough for me. So I think my dad was a good dad who made some mistakes, but that being said, I can still relate, like Ali said, or Charles, I forget who it was, can relate to the second person more. But I think the answer is actually the same for both people.
Yeah.
In that, you know, I can tell, you know, if you've had a bad father, I can tell you God is a good father. But if I tell you God is a good father, you need to hear God tell you that I am a good father. It's like, yes. Jason, you can tell me that my wife loves me. But what's more powerful is when my wife tells me that she loves me.
Sure.
And when she speaks to me, and so I can tell anybody God is a good God, or God will do this for you, or this is who God is. But until God actually shows up and tells you that, that is when the powerful change happens. I truly believe that we are his sheep, and the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And so you might think you're not prophetic, you don't hear God. That's not true. God speaks to you all the time. And I think if you press in and ask God to tell you what kind of father he is, he'll do it. And that'll be what transforms your life.
Yes, yes, yes. It's good. I want to thank our panel for sharing of yourselves. I think one of our goals in this discussion was just to open some doors, and actually I feel like the door is perfectly open because of where Ron has ended. We can talk about the Father all day. When the Father talks about himself, then things happen. So service is designed today with a space at the end here that we want to invite the Father to speak about himself. And if there is something that has stirred in you as a sense of need or a sense of desire, then this is a time. I'm going to set this up for a few moments, but there'll be a point when we say, if this feels like something you need, then come and please don't hesitate. I have been in enough church services where there was a call to ask, seek, or knock. And I didn't think I wanted to that day. So I stayed in my seat while a bunch of other people asked and seeked and knocked. And the asking and the seeking and the knocking leads to the receiving and the opening and the answers. Sometimes it's just that step. It's 6 inches from where I was, but I needed it. I have heard therapists and theologians and spiritual directors and psychologists, they all tell me that the Father plays an important role in the establishing of the identity of a child. The mother is precious and dear, and her role is hugely important, but there's something about the masculine presence in our life that speaks to our identity. Even the baptism of Jesus shows us this, right? The Father speaks and says, "This is my son, and I'm well pleased with you." And we get the sense that that set Jesus up to go and be and do all the things he was supposed to go and be and do. It's like the Father somehow helps us discover who we are, even helps us discover whose we are. I was reading a book called The Fatherless Generation, speaking of all of those who are impacted by the absence of a father in life. And one of the lines was, we really, at some basic level, just we want someone to be proud of, and then we want them to be proud of us. We were singing a song earlier this morning, the pride of a father. And there's nobody with a perfect father. We could scan the room and get a range of experiences, right? Some of our fathers had passed away. They were limited in the time they could impact us. Some of them were absent, and unfortunately, it was by their choosing. They probably received very little from their fathers, and then they faithfully passed it on to us. And they weren't even present enough to be a blessing on us. Their absence left a different kind of mark. God knows this. God loves to touch those spots. Some of the fathers were abusive. They were present, but we often wished they weren't. Those were broken men. And they brought their brokenness and they created more brokenness. And all of it creates damage and baggage. And when God reveals himself as Father, we sort of step back because we're not sure we like that image very much. But God, the Father, knows this. And he loves to touch those spots. Some of our fathers were active. They were present and they were invested and they gave what they had and we reaped the benefits. And they weren't perfect, but at a bare minimum, they provided a place that felt secure and safe. And we knew that our basic needs would be looked after. And we're thankful for that. And some of them didn't know how to bless us in deeper ways. They didn't know how to handle emotional depth. They didn't know how to care for our hearts, but they gave the best they had. They didn't take us on the fishing trip we wanted. And so there's gaps, but the Father knows those points. And he loves to touch those spots. And some of us had fathers that we were proud of, and they were proud of us. And even there, the Father knows the desires of our hearts that were yet untouched. And he knows those spots, and he loves to touch that as well. And so, So let's stand. So whatever your experience, there's only one perfect Father, and he is love, and he is faithful, and he is true, and he is whole, and he will never parent you out of a place of control or anger, and he is not wounded, so he will not wound you. And he is not insecure, so he will not give himself partway. He will give himself fully. So if there is any piece of your soul this morning that needs a blessing from that Father, I'd invite you into the sacred space at the front. I have seen amazing things happen at the front of church auditoriums. If you're one of the men that's intending to be involved when this concludes, I'd invite you to come and join us too. Just be among those of us in the front. If you are seated at the back or standing in the front, I'd invite you, use your body to tell your soul, hey, this is a receiving moment. Lord, I need what you have. Here's a compilation of his expressions from Scripture. Let my voice speak for him this morning. Here is what he has. This is a blessing from the Father through the perfection and provision of Jesus. I delight to call you my sons, my daughters. From before the world was created, I love you. I chose you. You are cleansed and blameless in my sight. Before you had any awareness or response toward me, I had determined to adopt you as my own. I desire this deeply, and it gives me great pleasure to make you my child. Dearly loved child, I know everything about you. When you sit, when you stand, when you move, when you stay, I know the thoughts you think. I know the thoughts you, the words you say, and I know them before you know them. I go before you, I follow behind you, through the depths, through the heights, in the darkness, in the light. You are never far from me. I was doing delicate work before you were born. My loving hands attentively crafted you within your mother's womb. You are wonderfully made, and I am very proud of my work. I have seen all your moments. I have been close to you in every one. You would struggle to believe how many thoughts I have about you, and every thought is a thought of love. What wild compassion I feel for you, my child. I know you completely. Your weaknesses do not unnerve me. Your smallness does not unsettle me, for my hands created you. My breath gives you life. Yes, your days are numbered, but they are entirely enveloped by my steadfast love. From everlasting to everlasting, I am with you. I am the Lord your God who goes before you. When battles arise, I myself will fight for you just as I fought for my people in ages past. I have carried you on all the roads you have walked until this day, and I am not nearly done yet. So rest in the waterfalls of my grace. In the abundance of my love, you lack nothing. My goodness and my grace surround you, and I have purchased your freedom with the perfect and powerful sacrifice of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Your brokenness is healed. Soak in the showers of my kindness. You are my beloved child, and with you I am well pleased. I, the Lord, am your Father. I bless you and I keep you, and I will make my face to shine upon you. I will be gracious to you. I will turn my face towards you, and I will give you peace. Father, with your words echoing in our ears and our hearts, we bestow blessing on brothers and sisters today. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you, sons and daughters of the Most High. In this moment, may you be renewed. May you be refreshed by the fullness of God. May the love of God the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may it be completely and deeply in you. Amen. We have no chairs to stack. We have nowhere to go. If the place you are is the place you should stay, then remain. There are men who are queued up to be available to visit or to pray. They will come up closer to the stage so you know who's who. But, Father, let us soak in your goodness today. Happy Father's Day, Lord. Thank you that you are Father. To viewers online, our ministry time is going to continue, but we're grateful you've joined us. Thank you for tuning in, and happy Father's Day to you.
Hey everyone, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We hope you enjoyed it and found something that spoke to you or blessed you in some way. That really is the heart of Harvest City Church, that you'd take what you've heard, learned, or experienced here, and then go out and share that good news with others. So go ahead and post this video to your page, start conversations, and who knows the lives that God could transform through it. If we can support you in some way in this season, please let us know. Maybe you've decided to dedicate your life fully to Jesus. We want to hear about it and celebrate with you and help you in those first steps. Connecting in to share the joys and the struggles of life is why we're here. Finding community is super important too, so if you're wondering about any of our programs for kids, youth, or adults, just reach out to us by phone or at the link below and we'll be in touch. To all of those who are partnering financially with us, thank you for your investment into the kingdom of God. It allows us to do what he's calling us to and reach even more people. For more info on that, go over to harvestconnect.ca/give. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our live stream chat area at harvestconnect.ca/live. It's a great place for interaction, commenting, prayer with our online hosts, and more. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our social pages and all that good stuff too. Take care, keep living your call, and we'll see you again real soon.